live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, a wham bam blue bam, a lamp bam boo. Boo, as the ghosts say. That's what rock and roll ghosts must say, isn't it? Wham bam blue bam, blam bam boo. Maybe not. Maybe not. How are we all? It's Sunday again. Hooray! Like a sermon from a grey-haired 40-year-old Scouse priest, I'm back once again with the illest of behaviours to talk about ghosts with you wonderful, wonderful people. Thank you again for all the correspondence that you've sent in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Do send your spooky stories into that and I will read them, reply and other R words. How have you been? I do hope you have all been wonderful. I've spoke to quite a few of you this week via email, back and forth, by the wonder of electronic mail. And yeah, it's been nice chatting to you all. Generally, just having, you know, I know some of you have been buying cars, some of you have been doing this and that. Some of you have gone to weddings. It's been lovely, lovely. So let's all have a good gap. Go over to the Facebook group and request to join. There's a few questions you've got to answer. You know, we don't let anyone in. It's a bit exclusive, know what I mean. And then I'll just approve you and you can go in and have a chat to everybody else. That's the way it runs around here. Oh, I do want to say a massive, wonderful thank you and shout out to Emma and Dan over at the amazing show, Real Ghost Stories. You do need to go over and give those guys a listen to their podcast because it's fantastic. It's like, it's actually called Real Life Ghost Stories. Search Real Ghost Stories, you'll get anything. Real Life Ghost Stories. Go and search that because it's fantastic. It's similar to this, but imagine there was a female me. And I think Dan's a Cockney, and a Cockney me, imagine that. And I would be female and Irish. It's a fantastic show. They have such good banter, but the stories are amazing, and they tell them a bit more professionally than I do, all be told. So yeah, stop listening to me, go listen to them. Yeah, that's how you lose listeners. But a big thank you. They listened to, Emma's listened to one of my shows, last week's show, in fact, and she heard the growl, and she was very concerned for my safety. I had to tell her via the medium of Instagram that I was okay. But the wonderful guys, it's a great show. Do go check it out post haste. Okay, that's enough words in that, I think. Should we see it? I believe McCartney's up to his very last week, isn't he? He's like coming to the end. I need to give him a handshake and a pint of a Spitfire and send him on his way. So without further ado, adieu, let's all say goodbye. Well, hello, goodbye to Mr. Paul McCartney. Sorry, you didn't spend years in the Beatles just to become a Mr. To Sir Paul McCartney.
Hey everybody, it's me, Sir Paul McCartney, and I'm here for the very last time. Sad, isn't it? Anyway, it's been great to speak to you. I've got a little speech prepared at the end. Anyway, we're up to the letter, the final letter in my spooky book, to the letter Y. And I'll tell you why. A little bit of a joke there, yeah, it's a Beatles joke. Anyway, this is for Yuri, which is Japanese. Now, the Japanese have a long tradition of Yuri, or Kaiden, which are ghosts, and even a number of ghost gods, of varying degrees of ugliness. According to ancient documents, they all vary in temperament. The females less fierce than the males, who are often deformed, with snake-like necks, elongated tongues, and either one or three eyes. They mostly haunt cemeteries and old houses, and among their number are the water bogey, the storm fiend, and the curious chink and crevice bogey. The ghosts of famous samurai warriors have also been reported in the localities where they died, and there are occasional sightings too of the Koteno, or fox spirit, a female ghost in long flowing white robes who has the power to bewitch unwary men. Ooh, wouldn't like to meet any of them. Anyway, I must say goodbye now because this is the end of my spooky alphabet. But I've wrote myself a little letter to read out to you guys. Here it is. Now, it starts like this. Dear listeners, I, Sir Paul... Oh, there's a little baby here. Hello, little fella. Hello, dear mate. Hello. Oh, dear. I appear to have killed him. Oh, I'm still... Still. As I was saying, oh dear, I appear to have killed him.
Wow. So there we go. That's the end of Paul McCartney. Literally. Not really in real life. So not literally, really. So yeah, who was that who killed him? I don't know. I do hope that I'm not that easily swayed that somebody merely mentioning on Facebook that I sound a bit like Stewie Griffin means that I've invented, clearly not Stewie Griffin for legal reasons, but someone very like him to enter the podcast and murder Paul McCartney. I do hope that's not what took place. It clearly is, though. Anyway, should we get some real ghost stories going on? I've said real ghost stories. That's because I'm talking about real life ghost stories. Do go check them out, but we'll get some authentic ghost stories in. Don't want to sound like I'm just ripping them off, do you know what I mean? So anyway, let's get some spook on the go. Yes, hurrah, you say, and I join in with you in that. Let's hear some spooky stories. And the first story today is from the amazingly named Kai Bednarik. What? I love that name. It sounds like a copper in New York, you know? Hey, I'm from the NYPD. It's Kai Bednarik. Join me on a trail of crime. FBI, Kai Bednarik, open the door. Pew, pew, pew. Etc., etc. Or maybe not. Anyway, Kai writes in, before I get started, I'd like to say my first story is from a book I have called Berkshire County Hauntings. I found in my house, inside there's the date, handwritten, of 1912. The book's probably haunted, she says. I agree. I would throw it out, burn it, spread the ashes. Anyway, so I live in Massachusetts, in the Berkshires. Lots of ghost stories around here, so they made a tiny book of it. I believe it's the last book because I can't find it anywhere online. That's interesting. One tale is about our local little stream, Green River. Also the name of a grunge band, Kev adds in. Insert, this is the story. It's called The Woman in White. And it's a great story. Listen to this. Long ago, there were farms surrounding the river. One day, a local woman was outed as being a witch and killed. I like that. Very brief. Very to the point. Her body was found by a cow farmer on the riverbank. He never reported it to authorities, but told his neighbours, who'd just decided to bury her in a field. With neighbours like that, who needs serial killers, eh? It's reported that in the following months, all the farmers' cattle died and crops wouldn't grow. People began seeing a young woman in a white dress around the riverbanks. And many years later, a little boy refused to go back swimming after apparently she was dragged to the bottom by a white, flowery thing. That's horrible. I'm going to guess he saw her dress and she wanted revenge. I obviously wasn't around back then, so I'm not sure how true everything is in this book. Fair enough, Kai, yeah. Unless you've got a DeLorean and you can reach 88.8, etc. Another story, which I thought was a ghost. This is Kai's personal story now. I don't sleep at night, usually heading to bed around 10 a.m. Wow. I hadn't realised what time it was as I was watching a movie. I started hearing plates and dishes banging and went to see if my grandmother was awake. She was sound asleep and my cat was next to me, so I immediately froze as the banging continued. Damn ghost is doing the dishes, eh? I thought. I very weakly yelled out, "Hey!" And the housekeeper peeked around the corner and scared the absolute crap out of me. Turned out it was 8 a.m. and no one told me she was coming. I could have had the best paranormal evidence, but nope. Also, myself and many others have encountered ghost animals. But why aren't there ghost dinosaur spirits? Oh well, shower thoughts. Thanks for reading. You're very welcome, Kai. Good question, but that's a scary one, isn't it, about the woman in white? Not about your housekeeper turning up. You know, that's just an unfortunate circumstance. But the woman in white dragging a kid to the bottom, just seeing a flowery... Oh, that's all horrible. Yeah, I wouldn't like that. Not one iota. But that's a cracking story. Thank you for sending that in. And in terms of why there are no dinosaur spirits... You know, if I was a religious manic, I'd say, because they don't exist, they were only put here by Jesus to tempt us, which is what a lot of people believe, so I probably shouldn't mock that. But the reason why there are no dinosaur spirits, in my humble opinion, I'm not a big believer in animal spirits in general, and I know that a lot of you might be, and that's fine, you know, each to their own, but I want my ghosts to be demons, I want my ghosts to be, like... men who've, and women, there's no sexism here in the spirit world, but, you know, I want them to be like horrible things, like men, not that men and women are horrible, but, you know, like people who've died in a chair or choked to death and then the ghosts come back to choke people and stuff like that. Not to be like, oh, he's over there. Now and again, there's a wolf. We hear a wolf and we hear a little wagging of a tail. Ah, run, get the Ouija board. You know, it just doesn't do it for me. So in answer to your question, I'm not really bothered why there are no dinosaur spirits, but it'd be great if there would, wouldn't it? In fact, maybe that was the growl last week. Maybe it was a giant T-Rex going, "Ah, why does nobody see me?" Maybe, we'll never know. Now, the next story is from a fellow Scouser. Yes, a local lady. Hello. And her name is Cleo Robinson. Cleo's a lovely name, isn't it? It's very Egyptian. Ah, I am Cleo. Is it Egyptian? No idea. Anyway, She says, "Hello, I love your podcast. They never fail to entertain me." Well, we'll give it time, give it time. "My story I'm telling you today is about my home in Liverpool that I lived in for 18 years. It's a beautiful Victorian house, but it's never been a place anyone's wanted to stay alone." I like this already. That's a good build-up for a story. "Throughout the years, my older brothers have always described seeing things. From shadows to full entities, my house has never failed to deliver some paranormal activity. Kevin here, you really need to tell me this address and I will go around and do a live show. How about them apples? How'd you like them?" Here we go. "Guests have seen figures in the rooms and heard the noises of someone in the halls. As someone that's lived here for 18 years, this stuff never scared me. It was part of the house I loved so much." I get that. But, you know, at the same time, I love my house. There we go. The view from the veranda. The old lady who sits in the chair that isn't really there. The nightly hag sitting on my chest. My wonderful house. Let's see. "The paranormal activity shifted to my room when I hit around 14. Simple things like my things being moved or my TV turning on took place. I didn't let it phase me most of the time. During my GCSEs, things got significantly worse." Interesting. "I would come into my room to see makeup out of place and across the floor, or hear a pattern of knocking on my walls. Sleeping was almost impossible. Eventually, I had enough and screamed some rather rude profanities at what some would see as mid-air, but I knew I wasn't alone. My mother made a trip to the library to find out who had lived in my room before me. Only one lady had residence in my room almost 100 years ago. And then in brackets, she says, the other owners were couples that stayed in the master bedroom. The lady was named Violet, and she was the maid. She was 17 when she lived there. We named our ghoulish resident Violet." Fair enough. Seems like a logical thing to do. Every time anything happened from that point on, I tried to approach it with calmness and simply asked them to stop. The knocking stopped. Now my house is usually quiet. It seemed that acknowledging the presence and accepting it fully made Violet less active. Now Violet every few months only makes the odd appearance. My mother will hear what she thinks is me yelling from my room, but then discover I'm not home. That's bloody terrifying. The knocking sometimes starts when I'm usually down or stressed. Now listen to, I want to come back to that, but anyway. Sometimes the spirits in our homes aren't always here to scare us. Although only 50% of the activity in our home is by Violet, I do feel strangely safe. In brackets, I have many more stories on other ghosts that we think reside in our home. But this is a nice story to show that not all energy has to be negative. Thanks for reading my email, written to you from the beach in Spain. Bloody hell, fair play you. And typical of us to stay in a haunted hotel. More stories could be on their way. Thank you. Keep making amazing podcasts, Cleo. Well, Cleo, first things first, send in every last story that you've got. I want everything on your house. I want everything on this haunted hotel. And I want them all now, goddammit. No, take your time. You know, send them in. But that is an amazing story, and I love it. Now, I want to do touch on a point there. And guys, you know what's coming, because we've touched on this before. It's the whole theory about stressful teenagers, puberty. I'm not saying you're going through puberty at that age, but I'm just saying, you know, stress, being run down, teenagers. Did you notice you said, within your own story, around your GCSEs was when it got worse, which is when you're stressful. Puberty time. I mean, I don't know when kids come into puberty. God knows when it was for me. I don't think it's happened yet. I do think there's a lot in that, in teenagers getting stressed and lots of paranormal activity taking place. Maybe that's, there should be a lot more in schools than there actually is. I know there's been a few good school stories, but maybe one time soon, very soon, we will do a school special. Yes, and I'll be teacher. Yes. That is an amazing story, though, Cleo. Thank you very much for that. I do want to, you say Violet's only responsible for 50% of what goes on there. So, and you say, I thought I'd send this one in because, you know, it proves that not all spirits are evil, which can only imply that the remaining 50%, 50 cent? Is it 50 cent rapping away? Oh, you did say there was rappings on the walls. You know, the other 50% is evil or nasty. That's what I'm assuming. So please send in something that backs that up. Anyway. Thank you for your story, Violet. If you've got stories such as the two that I just read out, do send them over to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com and I will gladly and would love to read them out. I've just realised that we may get a lot of loo listeners. I listen to toilets. We may get a lot of new listeners, both thanks to real ghost stories, real life ghost stories. I need to get that right. thanks to real life ghost stories, and also due to something that may be coming up in the next week or so, I should be recording arguably the biggest podcast related thing I've ever done. It's huge. I can't go into more detail, but when I can, you'll be the first to know. And so, yeah, hopefully you've made it this far and you haven't just listened to the first Paul McCartney bit and like, this isn't scary. This is, I pretend Paul McCartney being shot dead or punched to death by a pretend Stewie Griffin. If you got this far, by now you'll realise the gist of this show. And I appreciate if you've already turned off. But if you are still here, we're now approaching something we like to call the midpoint.
The sound of.
That's right, it's the party line. It's the nuff, 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 schnei, schnei, schnei. In Kundunsit, and the dancing party people. Und in dein nein, 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 nein. Frontag, through Freitag. Sonntag, nein, Montag.
Well, 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 well. No one expected that, did they? Well, I can only apologise to everybody who thinks that's offensive. It's just reminiscent of my memories of a child watching satellite TV. There was always a German party line ad on, and I thought I'd bring it back. And I'm not sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that I can't speak German and just make words up. I am apologetic for that. Anyway, we've reached the midpoint. Hooray, you wonderful, 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 beautiful people of the world. Yes, please send your stories to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. You can get us on the Twit machine @talkaboutghosts. And you can also go over to Instagram. There's a wee page there. You can also get us on the Facebook, over to the Facebook group, answer some questions, and I will let you in. Now we need to say hello to some new patrons. We're going to sing some songs to the patrons. Firstly, we want to say a big hello and a big shout out to, again, the wonderfully named Mercedes Chapman, because she has upped her Patreon donation from Team Poltonice to the We Need to Talk About Ghosts Club. So she will receive a badge and a welcome newsletter. Yes, she will. And as a thank you, we have to, of course, sing her name. And we're going to do it in a little finger picky style. Let's see. Like this. Oh, yeah, come on, we'll do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, Mercedes Chapman, you have joined the We Need to Talk About Ghost Club, oh, yeah. Thank you, Mercedes Chapman. And, of course, we have another patron that's joined. Hooray! And her name is as wonderful as everybody else's, Saran. What a name. Saran Hartley. See if you can guess this song, Saran.
She is Saran Hartley. She has signed up to the X list. Yeah.
Thank you, Saran. She's gone over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts and signed up to the Patreon, and she's a member of the Excelist. Yes, go over there, you get links to everything that I'm doing, and you'll also get access to bonus shows, yes, for patrons only. We started this last month, so there's only one on there at the minute. We're recording the next one in about 2 weeks' time. We're going to have patrons of the month, etc., and here's a little sneak peek. A skinwalker, dun 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 dun, episode, and also a black-eyed kid episode.
Boo.
Don't want to say that out too loud on a radio. It's nothing rude. Let me just find something to toss.
Boo.
Barcode kids? That's not a thing. Black-eyed kids. Hooray.
Boo.
It's not physically just going after her. It feels like it's going after me too. David Bowie. Celebrating David's modern ghosts.
Boo.
Me mum and dad live in one of the flats, but I'm locked out. Can you just buzz me into the flat?
Boo.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little search in a minute to see if anyone said yes, come in. Because I imagine they just come in and go, you're not meant to do that. I've no idea what to do next. I'm meant to just stand there and say, let me in. You say no, I go away. You're terrified. That's the deal. So there you go, a little sneak peek of what you can get if you go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts and enter at the Exorcist level or above. So that's enough plugging for that. Should we get back to some scaremongerous, scary stories? I think so. What about you guys? Pauses for effect. Yes, I think that was a verbal nod. We all agree. I think we all agree we should get a bit scared. Okay, so this story is a bit of a belter. Now, I've got a group of friends that I went right through junior school and secondary school with, and we're all still friends. There's about 8 of us in total, and we're like brothers. And one of those guys, my lovely brothers, they sent me an email the other day and said, lad, because that's how we talked to each other. All right, lad. Sent me an email, said, lad, have you got onto these stories about Liverpool? I said, no. So I clicked on the link and one jumped out at me. And these are ghost stories about Liverpool. Now listen to this story. It's epic. And literally, and I mean literally, this is like 5 minutes walk from where I live. Now listen to this. There are a few stories about occurrences that have happened around about 1981. In the Liverpool 7 district in a tenement block called Myrtle Gardens, when I was about 12 years of age, my family moved into Myrtle Gardens in 1979, and quite a number of things happened to myself and my sister Louise. We're a mixed race family, and when we moved to Myrtle Gardens, there were not many, if any, black families living there. I remember distinctly on the day we moved in, a crowd of white children jeering us and shouting, ha ha, you're moving into the haunted house. That's fucking horrible, isn't it? We took no notice of it, thinking they were just being horrible to us, which they were. Little did we know that things were to happen in that place which actually proved them right. This one morning... Is that nice? It was the chair. It's got to be the chair. Just freaking myself out. This one morning, Louise was about 11 and I was about 12 or 13. Louise came running into the kitchen to me as we were getting ready for school. She told me that she'd been fastening her shoelaces with her foot up on the bed when she heard, rather than saw, something dripping. When she looked down, there were 2 or 3 spots of blood on the linoleum. What the hell? I poo-pooed this, shooed her away and said, don't be silly, go get ready for school before we're late. So Louise dutifully began to get her breakfast and I went to the bedroom to put my school shoes on, where, to my horror, I heard exactly the same dripping sound. I looked down to see 3 spots of blood on the floor. What is going on? I looked up at the ceiling, there was nothing. We lived at the top floor of this tenement block, so there was nobody above us. My first instinct was to ask Louise if she'd started her period or if she'd cut herself, but she said no to both of these questions. I don't think that I told Louise the same thing had happened to me. We just sort of left it. The blood wasn't there later, but maybe Mum had cleaned it up. My mum used to work nights in the College of Building, or the College of Liverpool, I imagine, to make ends meet. My dad passed when I was 7. I'm sorry to read that. My mum worked at the college, which was an architectural college, until quite late. So it was quite unusual for myself and Louise and Edwin, my older brother, by 1 year, to be left in our... for us to be left to our own devices until Mammy came back, in brackets. My mum was Irish, and so we called her Mammy. Fair enough, that's how it works. There was one night when we children were on our own and we had got out the cards to entertain ourselves. We had a rented telly and it needed feeding with a shilling in the back of it to make it work. I don't know whether you had these in America for our American listeners, but back in the 80s, we had one at one point. You could rent televisions off companies, and to make them work, you had to put a coin in the back. Yes. And they were quite popular in Liverpool because we were quite a poor area. Still are in some areas. It wasn't unusual for the shilling to run out and we would be left bored, and so we would get the cards out. This one evening, Edwin's dealing the cards and the house is in silence, apart from us talking. All of a sudden, it was as though someone had taken up a sprint up the outside hallway and kicked the door with all their might. I jumped out of my skin. I'm sure you did. Louise looked at me with her eyes wide open. The strangest thing was that Edwin carried on dealing the cards. I said, are you going out to see what that was, Edwin? He said, what was? He hadn't heard a thing, and yet you couldn't not have heard it. It was like someone was trying to escape. There was another instance, that very same scenario. The TV wasn't on and we were playing cards. I distinctly heard, from the corner of the room, heavy laboured breathing, which could only be described as that of an old man. The sound was coming from the corner where the TV was sat, on an old wooden table with a little cloth over it and nothing behind it. The sound of this was horrible. Laboured breathing was coming from behind the TV, but nevertheless, I didn't say anything and was collecting up my cards when Louise looked really frightened at me and said, what's that noise? I replied, what can you hear, Louise? Knowing that I could hear something too. Hold on. Where are we? What can you hear, Louise? Knowing that I could hear something too. And she said, there's an old man in that corner. And with that, I fled out of the room with Louise on my tail. Edwin wondering again, what on earth is the matter with us? It's interesting that he couldn't hear anything, isn't it? When we told him, the three of us went and waited at the stairwell of our tenement block for about an hour and a half on a really cold night for my mum to come home. My mum, you know, a strict Roman Catholic, just shooed us away and said, don't be so blooming silly. So, you know, that was the end of that. See, I've found with Roman Catholicism that it depends who you're talking to, really. The modern generation, i.e. me, I say modern, I'm fucking 40 now, but, you know, the like people in the late 30s and 40s who were brought up Roman Catholic, such as I, when people tell us ghost stories, we're enamoured with them. But the older generation, like, my nan was the same. She was, like, Irish devout Catholic. She wouldn't entertain ghost stories, wouldn't entertain them, but at the same time, she was one of the most superstitious people that I know, you know. And she was convinced that her sister could tell the weather a week away just by sniffing the air. You know, weird stuff like that. She's like, oh, yeah, she can definitely do it. It's like, right, okay. So you believe in one, but not the other. Anyway, we continue with the story. It's now about 1984, something like that. And I'm well in love with the Jackson 5 and madly in love with Michael Jackson. Do you see what I've done there? Michael Jackson, bad. My bad room. No, never mind. My bedroom walls were testament to that, with pictures of Michael everywhere. One of my favourite pictures was a full facial of Michael with his apple hat on, and I loved it. I used to sleep in the top bunk there, and my younger sister Louise was in the bottom bunk. My sister Claire, who had not long given birth to my niece Becky, was in a single bed opposite the bunk beds. To the side of her was the wall with all the Jackson stuff on. Our bedroom had a veranda door, onto which it led to a small balcony. I don't think the curtains were closed because I distinctly remember moonlight coming in. Not in a romantic way, it just gave light. I woke up in the middle of the night and was looking down at my elder sister Claire's bed, and she also had a crib on the floor beside her. At the end of her bed was a little girl in a white lace gown, and I can only describe her as 3 or 4 years old, a little Shirley Temple with this mop of curly blonde hair. I was staring at her, and I wasn't frightened of her because of how pretty she was. I could only see her side on because she was looking down at my sister. I immediately knew it was someone in spirit form because I could see my favourite poster of Michael Jackson right through her body. Oh my lord. It's funny because you pass the same places every day and maybe don't notice things. On my way to school, I'd come out of the tenement block and walk straight onto Orphan Street. I never connected the two things, the street name and the little girl, until much later. I spoke to my aunties and friends of my mum's who all lived in Myrtle Gardens, and we discovered that Myrtle Gardens was built on the site of an orphanage. Perhaps a lot of orphans would have passed in that area. My sister Louise says that there was a graveyard on the same site, and we can only assume that the graveyard would have been for orphans. They wouldn't have had anyone pay for their burials in Victorian times, so it's quite feasible there would be lots of spirits on the grounds. I completely agree. It's like just literally 2 minutes up the road from us is the Anglican Cathedral, and they've got St. James's graveyard there. And a lot of the gravestones are actually from mass burial graves. It's like from the, you know, like the old workhouses when people were too poor to feed themselves, so they had to go and work in a workhouse to be given like food and lodgings and stuff. A lot of them are very young as well, so there's like a gravestone there which says listed below are the remains of the people buried here, and there's like 30 kids on this slab of a gravestone. It's horrible. It's a wonderful, like, beautiful looking graveyard, if you can say such a thing, but it's very old and very eerie. Anyway, we continue with the story. As I mentioned earlier, I shared a bedroom with my younger sister Louise and older sister Claire. One night I woke up and I felt something really cold on the side of my face. What is that? That would be horrible. It was so cold and rubbery and horrible that I immediately sat up in bed. The lights were out, it was the middle of the night, and a hand covered my face. Jesus, tonight. It wasn't trying to suffocate me, it seemed to be taunting me by flicking fingers all over my face. I was screaming and my older sister Claire sat up in her bed and was shouting at me, Laura, wake up, wake up. And I was screaming back at her, I am awake, get it off me, get it off me. Oh my God, that's horrible. I could see Claire in her bed. The following morning, I was that ill with stress, I couldn't go to school. My mum had come into our room the night before saying, what's going on? And I'd said that there was a hand in my bed and it was in my face and it was just flapping these rubbery fingers all over my face. Claire explained it away by saying I'd been asleep on my own hand and it had gone dead. You've been hitting your own face, said Claire. Fair enough. I said, Claire, that would be all well and good, but at one point I'd got hold of it with both of my hands. Ugh. And I threw it down onto the pillow, and it was just a disembodied hand, and it came back up into my face. That's horrible. That's horrible. It's freaking me out. I told Claire that I could hear her telling me to wake up and could see her in bed. I don't know what happened, whether it was someone putting the light on that made it go, but anyway, it was gone. My brother thought it was hilarious, and all the next day was waving his hand in front of my face. He sounds like a great guy. I've never been so frightened, and to this day, it still frightens me to think about. In fact, I've got the chills thinking about it now. And that story was sent into that site by Laura. What a bloody story to end on. Imagine all of that. What a terrible, terrible story in terms of freakiness. I mean, what's that thing off the Addams Family? The hand, is it? Cousin it? Is that the thing? Is that the hand? Or is the thing? It's one of the two things. Anyway, that wraps up another show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for lending me your ear holes so I could spout spookiness down them with my mouth hole. If you do have a terrible, scary story, such as the things that have been presented in today's episode, then please send them to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. I will reply to all of them, and I will hopefully read out all of them indeed. Don't forget, if you want extra shows and stuff like that, you can go to the Patreon site, patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Sign up to any level there. And if you can't go and sign up to the Patreon, then just leave us a nice review. It doesn't have to be nice. You leave a horrible one if you want. But if you've got this far to listen to this, me asking for a review, then I'd hope you enjoy it. And if you're just a sadist who doesn't like it, but you've listened anyway, then good for you for sticking to your guns. That's all from me. I'll be back next Vokin, or week, as we say here in England. And I will be reading out more of your fantastically scary stories. Don't forget to go and check out Real Life Ghost Stories with Emma and Dan, because it's bloody fantastic. And in the meantime, I'm off to investigate what happened to Sir Paul McCartney. Okay, I love you all, and I will see you all next Vokin. Bye now.